On this week's episode, Jenny Stone is joined by Ollie Nguyen, who's an IFA advisor to doctors. They will be discussing the McLeod judgment and what it means for members of the NHS pension scheme. They also discuss why the McLeod judgment came about, the impact this is going to have on doctors' NHS pension, and what members will need to do. They also mention the NHS pension report service that RBP provide. And if clients are interested in this service, please use the link in the notes for an example of the pension report, which also includes the impact of McLeod. Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Accountancy on Prescription. I am Jenny Stone, one of the partners at RBP, and I am delighted to welcome back to the show Ollie Nguyen. Hi, Ollie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Jenny. Thank you very much for inviting me back on. Pleasure to be back talking to you again on the podcast.
Oh, no, it's great. We had brilliant feedback from your last podcast. Do you want to, because there may be people listening that haven't listened to that podcast, so do you want to do a brief introduction about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So as Jenny said, my name is Ollie Nguyen. I'm a financial planner working in partnership with an organisation called Quilter Financial Advisors, which is a FTSE 250 company, leading provider of financial advice here in the UK. I've worked in the industry for about 15 years, and for over a decade now, I've been working pretty much exclusively with medical professionals, predominantly GPs, but lots of hospital consultants as well. And as a financial planner, I'm a generalist, really. So my job with the clients who choose to engage with me is to understand where are you today, both circumstantially and with the product of your existing financial planning, and where do we need to get you to in the future? And then having understood those two positions, I offer expert advice around how you can do that most efficiently. So offering advice across lots and lots of different areas, but because my clients are all doctors, a common theme is that they all have an NHS pension. And so big value add for my service is having that expert guidance around the pension to make sure it's fitting and complementing all of your other planning towards your future goals.
No, thank you, Ollie. Yes. And so, of course, you're joining us back here. So we are talking about the NHS pension scheme, but we're going to be talking today about McLeod. So a lot of you will be affected by this, and it's a really important topic so that you understand what this actually means, what it means for you, your pension, and what you need to do. Ollie, I'm always quite surprised. So I've been talking to my clients, you know, when I go and see them, I talk to them about their NHS pension, we talk about annual allowance, and I talk to them about McLeod. But I'm always surprised at how many still look at me blankly and go, what's McLeod? So why don't we just sort of start with, when we talk about McLeod, what are we actually referring to?
So I agree, Jenny. I have very, very similar conversations with my clients. I think McLeod's been around for a number of years now. So lots and lots of people recognize the word and they've certainly heard about it, but they don't really understand the detail and what it means for their own pension. So in order to understand what people are referring to when they mention McLeod, we first of all really need to understand the background. And the background started in 2011, so a pretty long period of time ago.
I hadn't realised it was that long time ago.
Yeah, well, certainly the background. So that in terms of the background, in 2011, reports produced by government known as the Hutton Report proposed reforms to public sector pensions, which ultimately led to the introduction of the 2015 scheme, as the name suggests, in 2015. Prior to 2015, members had been either a member of the 2008 or 1995 section of the scheme, and broadly that was dictated by when they joined the NHS. So if someone joined the NHS after 2008, they automatically joined the 2008 scheme. If they joined before 2008, they would be a member of the 1995 scheme. Although some members moved from 95 to 2008 in 2008 because members were given the option to join the newest scheme if they wanted to. Most didn't. It wasn't really in the best interest probably of the majority of members, but some did. In that report, which proposed reforms to the public sector pensions and the introduction of the 2015 scheme, it specifically stated that special protections for members over a certain age should not be necessary. So ultimately, what was happening was the reform was that there was an introduction of the 2015 scheme, creating new terms of pension membership, broadly because the previous schemes were unsustainable. Pensions were paid too early, people were living longer, and in order to be able to offer an excellent defined benefit pension, they had to change the terms, and broadly that meant paying pensions later. However, when the 2015 scheme was introduced, despite the report stating that special protections for members over a certain age should not be necessary, lo and behold, they added special protections for members of a certain age. And this then subsequently led to a court case that was brought by younger members of the firefighters and judges pension schemes. I guess it's always good to have judges on your side if you're going to a court case. And they argued that their younger members were discriminated against based upon these protections that were offered to older members. The ruling became known as the McLeod ruling because a member of the judges scheme who was involved in the case had the surname McLeod. And in July 2019, the government accepted that age discrimination existed in the introduction of the 2015 scheme, and that this then had to be remedied. And that's what we're working through now, is the remedy which corrects that age discrimination that existed through the introduction of the 2015 scheme.
Yeah, really interesting that original report said about don't do the protection, because I feel like this huge amount of work that we've got with the McLeod remedy, if they hadn't have protected some members, we wouldn't be here today, would we?
It's amazing, actually, the amount of work and that's involved in a remedy when it was a pretty obvious mistake, given, you know, the criteria that had to be met at the outset. Yeah, it's astonishing, really.
Yes. Well, we'll go through kind of all of this, the work and all everything that needs to be considered. So, Ollie, can I just ask you, why did the ruling come about in the first place?
So the reason that the ruling went in favour of the younger members of the firefighters and judges' pension schemes was because one of the terms of the 2015 scheme introduction was that it classed public sector pension scheme members into one of three categories. And in 2015, a member, let's talk about the NHS pension, an existing member of the NHS pension was classed as either a standard member, a transitional member, or a protected member. So if we go through those in order of the kind of degree of protection, a protected member was someone who was sufficiently close to their normal retirement age in 2015 that they did not move into the 2015 scheme, and they were protected and remained in their legacy scheme, arguably a more favourable pension scheme, until the normal retirement age of that scheme. So, for example, if in 2015 someone was going to reach the age of 60, which is the normal retirement age of the 1995 scheme, let's say in 2017, they would be allowed to remain in their pension scheme until 2017, and they would never, ever enter the 2015 scheme. A transitional member was not quite as close to the normal retirement age as a protected member, but they were close enough that they were given a bit of extra time in the earlier scheme. So they would be given maybe a couple of extra years in the 1995 scheme, for example, before then transitioning into the 2015 scheme. And a standard member was someone, typically a younger member, who was quite a long way away from retirement. And as a result of that, they'd moved straight into the 2015 scheme in 2015. So you can see there that the terms of membership were dictated more than anything else based upon date of birth. And for that reason, it was quite clear that the McLeod ruling ruled in the favour of those younger members who were arguing that they were discriminated against.
Yes. And I know when we were doing all of the 15, 16 pension certificates, we were getting so many questions when we were sending it to them. And of course, we were showing that they were in the 15 scheme, coming back and saying, no, I didn't choose to go into the 15 scheme. So I think a load of doctors remembered that when the 2008 scheme came out, they made a choice. And so they thought, oh, no, but I didn't choose to go into the 15 scheme. And I was like, no, it's all based on your date of birth. And actually, I had to set up the horrible spreadsheet where I had to work out people's date of birth and at what point they moved over to the 2015 scheme if they were transition members. So yeah, like you said, it wasn't a choice. You moved over dependent on your date of birth. Can I ask, Ollie, so who is actually going to be affected by McLeod? Because not everybody will be affected, will they?
That's exactly right. So those affected by McLeod are those members who were in service in the NHS pension scheme before or on the 31st of March 2012. Those who joined after that date are unaffected by McLeod and will continue in their membership as has been the case historically. That definition of before or in service on the 31st of March 2012 also extends to those who perhaps were deferred on that date but could have rejoined within 5 years thereafter. And that links in potentially to something known as contingent decisions, which I think we'll talk about in a little while. So if you were in service before or at 31st of March 2012, that potentially, that definition potentially includes current active members, current deferred members, so those who have subsequently decided to leave the NHS pension scheme, and also potentially retired members. So anyone that has retired between 2015 and 2022 and wasn't a protected member, so was a transitional member, potentially will be affected as well.
Thank you. And I think this is the thing, we're working on a piece of work trying to work out, you know, putting our clients into different groups, you know, who's going to be affected, who's not affected, because it's not the same for everybody. So can I ask, Ollie, what is actually going to be done now? So, you know, McLeod has determined that the judges won their court case and there was a discrimination. What is now going to be done to remove the discrimination?
So the first thing that's done is that the transitional protections are completely removed. And that is done by moving everybody who's affected back into their legacy scheme for the period 2015 through to 2022. So that's known as rollback, and everyone is rolled back automatically into their legacy pension scheme. The impact of that is that all of those pension benefits that have been accrued between 2015 and 2022 need to then be recalculated. So any total reward statement, for example, that's been obtained during that period is inaccurate because it's calculating those benefits based upon a set of scheme rules that have been replaced by an earlier set of scheme rules. And in addition to that, that therefore has a knock-on effect on the pension growth, which is then used for annual allowance calculations, and potentially tax liabilities or historic tax liabilities that have been created by those annual allowance calculations.
I know lots of clients, when I talk to them about McLeod and I say those 7 years are going to get rolled back, and you know, if they're in the 95 scheme, everybody's happy about that because they just, the first thing they say to me is, oh good, that means we can get those 7 years at 60 rather than 67. So people are happy that those years are going back. But as you're going to come on to, there's a lot of work that we've got to do to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the introduction of partial retirement, which enables members to take their 95 scheme benefits at 60, but continue to contribute to the 2015 scheme thereafter, also makes that likely to be more favourable, that rollback. It's not always the case. It isn't guaranteed to be the case that that's better. And therefore, taking advice and most importantly, in my opinion, as a financial planner, modelling the various options so that you can compare those two options, link those to your broader retirement plans, and it then becomes quite clear what looks like the most favourable option. And on that, that's a nice way to link into that. The RBP pension report is fantastic at doing that. And I would encourage members to use that service where they're looking at their retirement planning. And I can then come in and support that by talking through the reports and relating it to the broader financial planning. But the point there more broadly is the second part of the McLeod remedy. So everyone automatically will be rolled back into their legacy scheme for the period 2015 through to 2022. But at retirement, members will be given a choice as to whether they want to reverse that rollback. This is known as legacy choice versus reformed scheme choice. For most members, I think it's likely that legacy choice, so the default position of being rolled back and having that 2015 through to 22 period in your earlier scheme is likely to be favourable. But for some members, it might not be. So therefore, they will have the opportunity to reverse that rollback from the default position and actually hold their membership in the 2015 scheme from 2015 if that proves favourable for them in terms of their retirement planning.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I don't know whether we've kind of sort of clearly mentioned that as a result of the McLeod, it is going to be your pension benefits from 1st of April 15 through to 31st of March 22 that get rolled back. So everybody from the 1st of April 22, everybody is now in the 15 scheme. Can I ask, Ollie, so, you know, I like you say, when people get their pension benefit statements, you know, a lot of the times it still shows them in the 15 scheme. And I say to people, I say, well, okay, look, it's still showing that you're in two schemes, but bear in mind, you've got these 7 years that are rolling back. What is the timeline for the McLeod remedy?
So first and foremost, in terms of the rollback itself, so moving members back into their legacy schemes for that 7-year period, 2015 through to 2022, the calculations of those pension benefits have broadly been altered now. So any total reward statements that members acquire as from October 2023, so October last year, will have calculated their pension membership with the correct timescales in the correct schemes. However, the annual allowance has not yet been reassessed, and there is a legal deadline of the 6th of October this year in order for those annual allowance calculations to be completed. Now, that has been delayed and pushed back a couple of times. So there is a legal deadline, which we'd like to think is going to be met. I think that there is, realistically, there's a chance that that could potentially be delayed and pushed back again. But the target at the moment is that the annual allowance position for 2015 through to 2022, based upon the rollback, will be with members by the 6th of October this year.
And that's a really interesting point, because we talk a lot about this here, because obviously we'll come on to the annual allowance work that needs to be done. But I think hospital consultants have always been able to get their annual allowance statements, you know, in a timely fashion for us to be able to do it for doing the tax returns. Obviously for GPs, it's slightly different because they submit a pension certificate kind of like a year later. And so we see it from dealing with pension certificates. We still have so many clients that are still trying to sort out earlier years pension certificates. So we've had a recent scenario where quite a number of clients have had emails from PCSE to say, oh, by the way, we've had new information about your GP solo income. Please, can you update these last 4 pension certificates? So we're kind of going, is this really all going to be ready with NHS pension, with accurate pension records for them to be able to issue annual allowance statements? So it's interesting you said that's a legal deadline, because we're kind of here going, oh, I'm sure it'll get moved.
Yeah, I mean, the issues, I guess, with PCSE is a completely separate ball game altogether, isn't it? And, you know, that legal deadline that NHS pensions is committed to meeting, they can only do their job if they've got the relevant and correct information from PCSE. So, you know, they may very well be restricted by that. And I think it's probably unrealistic to expect, particularly for GPs, that deadline will be met unless PCSE have done their bit correctly.
Yeah. I mean, we're working on that. That's when it's going to be. But yeah, I agree with you. We're kind of like, how is this really going to work for GPs? So we've kind of touched on annual allowance, and we've talked about the 7 years of pension is going to go back into your legacy scheme, which changes the growth in your pension for annual allowance purposes. So how does the McLeod rollback deal with the retrospective taxation, and how's it all going to get reported?
So unlike the years originally when annual allowance statements were provided, what is going to happen now is that there's going to be something known as a remedial services statement, which will be sent to members, again, hopefully by that legal deadline of October this year, which will summarise the new position in each of those tax years from a growth perspective. That remedial services statement will be provided on what's known as a 7+5 basis. So what that means is it will cover the 7 years of the remedy period, 2015 through to 2022, but it will also cover the 5 years prior to that, which is important from a carry forward perspective to be able to calculate what the actual taxation, if there is any, is calculated to be. This has the potential to lead to retrospectively increased or decreased pension tax liabilities. It will very much depend on the membership. So there's not one size fits all. It will be very much a case of, depending on the individual membership, there is potential for increased tax liabilities or decreased tax liabilities as a result of the rollback and moving back into the legacy scheme. But there's nothing that can be done about that. The remedy states clearly that rollback will exist for all members. So there's nothing that can be done to impact that at this stage. Where tax liabilities reduce, the government will account for the entire remedy period. So 2015 through to 2022, they will compensate or refund any tax that has been paid, which has now reduced. And where there is an increase, it's only charges from 2019-20 onwards that have been currently underpaid that will be expected to be collected. The data on the RSS will be submitted via an HMRC rollback calculator. And that will effectively satisfy the tax reporting requirements, as opposed to having to resubmit new tax returns. Where additional tax is incurred from 2019-20 onwards, where members choose to settle that tax via scheme pays elections, and that's a decision that they should take advice on individually, then new scheme pays submissions will need to be submitted to NHS Pensions in order to be able to lodge those requests.
Yeah, and this is what we're gearing up for. So if you're clients of RBP, we are gearing up for the fact that for all of you that are affected by McLeod, we are going to have to do this piece of work. So when you get your statements with all the updated figures, thankfully, we don't have to go in and amend all your individual tax returns. There is a digital tool that HMRC have released, which we have to then put in all of this information. So if you are affected, your accountants are all going to have to do a piece of work where they are going to have to resubmit all of this data. And if you've overpaid your tax, and if you paid the tax charge yourself personally, and we did have some clients that didn't want to do a scheme pay election, then obviously that will be refunded. What hopefully a lot of our listeners are also aware is that when your tax return was done for 22-23, we didn't actually have to report any annual allowance tax charge on that tax return. And what we're going to do is when we do the earlier 7 years, we're also going to have to report 22-23 at the same time. So I'm kind of thinking that if you've overpaid in earlier years and you've got a tax charge for 22-23, then it will all get kind of offset. But yes, there is going to be a piece of work that accountants are going to have to do once those statements come out in October. And I believe HMRC's deadline for this work is the 31st of January 25. So statements are going to be issued on the 6th of October 24, and accountants are going to have to do this work at an already extremely busy time with a tax return deadline. So hence why we're kind of already preparing and gearing up for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, clearly that's very wise. And I think that that also applies to pension members as well. So we'll come on, I guess, in terms of, you know, what do members need to do? But just to kind of bring that forward a little bit, members in most instances don't need to do anything now, but I would encourage members to potentially take some advice in this area and preempt these decisions that they're going to have to make, because as with anything, there's going to be a big rush and a big demand for that service closer to the deadlines, whereas those members who are able to proactively become informed in advance and understand, you know, what the figures are, what needs to be done, they will be able to make more informed decisions earlier, and that clearly delivers some confidence and hopefully helps you out, Jenny, as well.
Yeah. And also just to mention that there is also a compensation. So you are going to have to take advice from financial advisors. Ollie, you are going to have your accountants that are going to have to do a piece of work for you. And there is a compensation claim that you can make for costs that have been incurred. So I think they've set limits, haven't they, on accountants, about £1,000, IFAs about £500. But there will be, because there is going to be, as Ollie says, there's going to be advice you're going to need, accountants are going to have to do work, and this is all going to incur costs for you. So there is also a compensation claim.
Yeah, absolutely. And those figures you've quoted, they're exactly right, around the £1,000, basically, for the rollback calculations. And it's £500 for the McLeod choice at the point of retirement. But from my experience, clients that, again, I'll mention the RBP pension report, get that data that's available on that report, which provides not just an accurate picture of the current position and provides very, very clear information to be able to make good pension choices. It also actually gives a really good projection towards retirement, and we can model that to different retirement ages. So from a financial planning perspective, it becomes invaluable. And from my experience, clients that have used that end up in a position where they feel confident about their retirement plan. And whereas lots of this information and these challenges can perhaps or create some kind of anxiety of not really understanding where you are and what you might need to be doing, that advice can reassure completely and actually put you on a really steady path towards retirement, understanding exactly the direction of travel.
No, I agree with you. I think just having that information is so key, isn't it? Ollie, can I just ask you, so I think we've talked a little bit sort of or touched on contingent decisions, but do you want to just sort of explain what is the McLeod contingent decisions, and are there things that clients need to be or members need to be thinking about?
Yeah, so contingent decisions relates specifically to, would a member have done something different with their membership if they had had access to their legacy scheme between October 2014 and April 2022. So it's actually 6 months prior to the introduction of the 2015 scheme. If they had, then there is the opportunity to go back and implement historically deferred membership, either in its entirety or for smaller periods. Now, clearly, being a member of that earlier scheme has the potential to provide more pension earlier than the rules did stipulate when the 2015 scheme came into force. And so there's lots of members that I think can evidence that they would have been able to act differently. And actually, there's lots and lots of potential, particularly for GPs when thinking about loss dynamization, who can go in and have relatively short periods of membership during that period that can make a very, very meaningful difference to the actual pension that comes into payment at the end. However, there is a lack of clarity over how those contingent decisions to rejoin for temporary periods or prolonged periods is going to be paid for. So I think at this moment, it's very much a case of watch this space. We need more detail around what the terms of contingent decisions are. But I would encourage members who have been deferred during that period to review this closely, because there is, in some instances, very, very sizable benefits that can be acquired at pretty minimal cost by re-entering the scheme on a contingent decision basis.
And I can remember having a client who decided to opt out because they didn't want to go into the 15 scheme, because they didn't want to, I think they were only going to be going in for a couple of years and then retiring. So they didn't want to be in that scheme for a couple of years and then not be able to get those benefits till 67. So actually they chose to opt out. So what you're saying here is they made a decision assuming that they were going to go into the 15 scheme or whatever, and actually that they may have the opportunity to sort of buy back sort of those missing years and contribute and get the pension benefits.
Exactly that, yeah. And particularly, there's a big opportunity here, I think, for GPs, because some GPs have been deferred for periods exceeding 5 years. And in most instances, when they're deferred for periods exceeding 5 years, they do so and they're unaware that that has a knock-on effect on the revaluation of historic pension benefits. Now, if the pension accrual already is quite significant, and specifically you're losing 1.5% per year of revaluation, that 1.5% can be enormous.
Yes.
So if you have the opportunity with a contingent decision to go back in and break a 5-year period of deferral, so just to add a bit more detail there so it's clear, provided you don't have a break of longer than 5 years, you retain that additional 1.5% dynamization. But if you defer for longer than 5 years, you lose it from that point thereafter. Therefore, contingent decisions potentially offers the opportunity for some members who have a break longer than 5 years and have lost that valuable benefit to go back and reacquire it. And potentially they can do that just based upon a very small period of historic membership, which doesn't cost that much.
Wow.
That can have an enormous benefit on the actual pension that comes into payment. So there's a potentially very big opportunity there, but we do need a bit more clarity to understand exactly how that's managed.
How it's going to work. Yes, yeah. I think that's going to be you being kept busy there, because that's something more for an IFA to help with, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you, what is the pension choice 2 reversal?
So we spoke earlier on about, prior to the 2015 scheme introduction, there were two forms of the scheme, the 1995 section and the 2008 section. And when they introduced the 2008 section, they offered members in the 1995 scheme, so existing members, the opportunity to move their historic 95 scheme membership into the 2008 section. Most members at that point decided not to. They wanted to retain their 1995 scheme benefits, which gave them pension at 60 rather than 65. It was a fairly straightforward choice for most people. However, when the 2015 scheme was introduced, members were given a second option to move their 95 scheme benefits into 2008. And because the situation had changed, because they were automatically going to go into the 2015 scheme in 2015, that meant that potentially a reasonable proportion of their total pension, i.e. the pension that they accumulated after 2015, was going to be at a later date anyway. So that might have affected people's retirement goals, and they may have reasoned that, actually, I'm not going to retire before 65, so having my 2008 benefits to 65 is more favourable. Now that they've reversed the introduction of the 2015 scheme, they may have reversed that view. Again, the goalposts have changed, the playing field has changed again. And so the pension choice to revocation, as I believe it's officially known, is the opportunity to say, well, I did move in my 95 benefits into 2008, but I'd like to reverse that. I'd like to have them back in the 95 scheme. Now, again, thinking about partial retirement, that also changes the playing field. And so my view would be that in the vast majority of instances, reversing pension choice 2 is probably going to be favourable for most members.
Yes.
But as always, you'd need to look at it on an individual basis. That's where the pension modelling becomes useful, and also taking into account the specific objectives of individuals. So there's no way of saying this is right for everyone. You have to review it individually. But there is a deadline for that pension choice 2 reversal, which is the 20th of May this year. All members should have been written to and been explained the choice. I've had lots and lots of my clients coming to me saying, what does this mean and what do I need to do? So there is some urgency there. And any affected members who have been written to regarding that, I would encourage you to place some importance on that decision and probably seek some advice to make sure that you're making the right decision, because the difference between making the right decision could be quite significant in terms of your longer term retirement planning.
Wow, that's really important. I hadn't even realised that there was this May deadline. So that's really important and interesting. We normally get clients email us, so I've not had anybody contact me about this. But like you say, it is really more the IFA and giving advice. So I haven't actually seen any of those letters. But that's really important, because I know I've got clients that moved from the 95 to the 2008 scheme.
Yeah, the way I would look at this is there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity there to quite significantly improve your retirement planning. It's not going to be right for everyone, but there's definitely an opportunity to potentially significantly improve your retirement planning. And with that, given that opportunity, it deserves some time and some consideration and some thought. And really what you want is good information so that you can make the most informed choice.
Yes, yes. And we've talked a lot about members that I think really are still in the scheme, still contributing, they're going to have these pension benefits rolled back. Can I just ask you, because obviously there are going to be doctors that have retired between April 15 and March 22, because they've got to make some, and then they're in receipt of their pension, but they've got to now make some decisions, haven't they, about pension benefits?
Yeah, so those retirees who retired during that period will have their pension paid to them currently based upon the old rules. So that does need to be recalculated. They won't automatically be moved to the new set of rules, but they will be given a choice as to whether they want to benefit from the McLeod remedy. So the deadline or the date for that choice is for existing retirees is April 2025. So anyone who's retired during 2015 to 2022, or indeed after that as well, but up to this date, will receive a recalculation of benefits before April 2025 and will be given the choice as to whether they want to retain their current pension or move into the different set of benefits. I anticipate that will be quite an easy choice to make, because you're just looking at two numbers and you're going to select the largest one. And assuming that they do choose to benefit from the remedy, because their pension has been in payment, new benefits will be backdated to the point that they did retire.
Yes. Thanks, Holly. So we've talked a lot about different members who've got different issues, things that they need to do. Is there anything else that members need to be thinking about now that you would sort of recommend?
So in short, no. So this podcast is very much around, you know, what is the state of play? What's going to happen in the future? For the vast majority of members, there's nothing that needs to be done before they receive their remedial services statement, the RSS, which will be issued hopefully later on this year. For members who are due to retire quite soon, they will have their McLeod choice available to them from July of this year. So anyone that's soon anticipating to retire, they will be given their choice at retirement, assuming they retire after July 2024. So there'll be some decisions to make for them at that particular point in time. Again, I anticipate that will be a relatively easy decision to make. It'll be a case of choosing the most attractive set of pension benefits. Pension choice 2 members, as we discussed earlier on, that's where the only real urgent action is.
Yes.
Anyone who's received that letter asking them whether they want to reverse their pension choice 2, the move from 95 to 2008, needs to make a decision by 20th of May. There is some urgency there, and I would encourage them to place time and effort in understanding that. And then the only other thing is, as I mentioned earlier on, whilst there isn't an urgent deadline on the RSS, actually, I'm passionately of the view that the information you get from NHS pensions and the information, including the RSS, will give you a certain amount of data. It's not going to be especially clear. Taking advice is probably going to put you in a much stronger position to make good decisions. And there's nothing stopping you from accelerating that through potentially getting an RBP pension report and or seeking advice from an IFA as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think if you're clients of RBP, as I said, we're gearing up for this piece of work that we are going to have to do in resubmission to HMRC via the digital tool for all your annual allowance. So we will be in touch. I think another thing that I would say is just making sure that your pension record is also up to date, because I know we've still got clients where they've got missing years. So if you've got emails from PCSE about pension certificate queries, make sure they're being forwarded onto your accountants, because you need to really get all of your missing years done so that your pension record is correctly updated, so that NHS pensions are in a position to issue this information to you. So I think that's key. Ollie, thank you. That's been brilliant. And what I'm taking away from this is that the actual report that talked about bringing in a 2015 scheme said, do not bring in any protection. And I feel like all of our lives and everybody else's might have been a lot easier if actually that advice had been taken. But hey, we are with McLeod and it's certainly keeping us all busy. Ollie, thank you as ever. It's been great to have you back. And, you know, if anybody's listening and they want to get in touch with Ollie, we'll put his contact details in the show note or contact us. I know I've had lots of positive feedback from people that have used you, Ollie. So thank you. And thank you for your time today. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, which I hope you found useful. If you've enjoyed listening to it, please pass this on to your colleagues and like and subscribe. And we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye, Ollie.
Bye, Jenny. Thanks very much.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.